Today we have with us a very special guest that is near and dear to our hearts. He is a dear friend of ours and a first-time author, and he is here with our host, Carlton Holbrook, to talk about his new book, Sweet or Sour, How Do You Smell to God?
Okay, today on the show, we have with us Tommy Denard, and he is here to speak with us about his new book called Sweet or Sour. How you doing today, Tommy?
Good morning, good man. How are you been? I've been great.
Oh, I'm fine. And we are here to speak on your book. And tell us a little about yourself, because, you know, everybody would like to know something about the author.
Right. I am a lifelong resident of Salisbury, Maryland, here on the eastern shore of the United States. I am a, in my opinion, a certified believer. I certainly paid the price to do what I have to do in the name of the Lord. My taste buds vary as far as my interests are concerned. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a devoted science fiction geek, comic book guy, professional football interester, and the list goes on. I don't stay bogged up in one little topic or anything like that.
Oh, you like me? I love some football, and I love sci-fi. I grew up on sci-fi, so that's me too.
You'd be surprised just how much scientific theory and law are in comic books, because a lot of those characters that we grew up loving have secret identities, and they are professionals at what they do. Daredevil is a lawyer. Reed Richards is a scientist beyond compare, and if you listen to some of those old school villains, you need a dictionary beside you just to look up some of the words that they're using. That's how, you know, I developed my vocabulary and love of reading, you know, just listening to these guys talk about, you know, science and things of that nature, biology.
Okay. So I guess I know you got to be a Lord of the Rings fan then.
Yeah. Absolutely.
One of my favorites. Okay. What about family?
Family, I have two loving daughters. My family tree extends to two sisters. Regrettably, this COVID menace took my mother in January, but in God's own way, it made the family stronger, more tightly knit. I have a host of uncles and aunts on my dad's side, and we've learned through adversity and things of that nature to pull together in God's name.
Yes. I mean, I haven't lost no one personally in my family to COVID, but a lot of people have, and I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yes, unfortunately, we both lost a good friend this past week, and we're just praying that he's resting in Jesus' arms, Elder Tony Tate.
Yes. That took me by surprise. I mean, he was young, a few years younger than myself, and I was shocked when my wife called me and told me the news.
That just serves as a lesson. This thing does not discriminate, although that's one of the things that man does best. The enemy of his soul does not. And just like the scripture says, you know, he seeks to see who he can devour. He's walking up and down the earth. He does not care if you're black, white, rich, poor, young, or old.
Yes. So what about church? What about your church? What your pastor? Tell us a little about yourself, where you go.
Yes. The straw that stirred the drink to get me started on writing again, his name is Thomas R. Hoy of New Life Ministries right here in Salisbury, Maryland. I have to give him the credit that's due him for what he's done in my life.
Okay, so he's the one that stirred up the gift in you to write this book?
As it so happened, writing was always a passion of mine, even in high school, writing short essays, short stories, even short novels. And for some odd reason, after I graduated, I didn't bother to pick up a pen or pencil anymore. And I would venture to say that gift lay dormant in me up until 3 years ago, where I joined New Life Ministries and I was commissioned to write articles for the church's newsletter. Mm-hmm. And as he was reading one of my earlier essays, he said, "You need to publish this." And I paid it no mind. I took the compliment for what it was. And as it happened, I was watching CNN one night, 2 a.m, and lo and behold, a commercial comes on for Christian Faith Publishing. Mm-hmm. And the guy that was narrating said, "If you have a story to tell to the glory of God, or if you have a book you think you need to get out, call us. We'll tell you what we think of it, and mm-hmm. we'll go from there." And I sent him one of my earlier writings, the publication that you have in your hands right now, Sweeter Sour. Mm-hmm. And it was just an elongated article. As I started to write, you know, God started dropping hints and suggestions in my head. You know, what about this? Look at that. Reference that. Google this. You know, look up that. Mm-hmm. And the thing turned into what it is now. I sent it in. 1 week later, they called me saying, "We want to publish this." I said, "Wow. Do you think it's good?" And they said, "Yes, it's strong. We want to publish it on its own merit. It's remarkable for a first-time writer." And I'm like, "Okay, well, let's take the numbers and stuff and see what happens." And they did exactly what they promised. They put out, just this past week, a 30-second YouTube promotional video on my behalf. They promised to get it out in every Barnes & Noble and on Amazon, and they did just that.
Where I purchased my copy, yes. because in your introduction on page 8, you have here that you said, "Somewhere, sometime, somebody will look at you through God's eyes mm-hmm. and physically or verbally stir up the gift in you. Yes. Trust in him and his timing. It'll happen." You said, "Mark my words." So Pastor Hoy is the one that knows the gift that was in you? So is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I think an old cliche fits perfectly where it says one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Not everybody's going to look at you the same. Not everybody's going to see through God's eyes at you, you know. Whereas one person sees nothing of use or of little value, somebody else sees great potential to be used for whatever, you know, they see fit.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, while reading a book, I said, "Man, well, you know," I said, "you can tell how you wrote this, that you really, really been through something." Because in your your introduction on 7, this is part of it that I'm going to read. Mm-hmm. For those whose self-worth had been decimated and destroyed simply for the lack of insight from friends and family who could not nor would not recognize the value in them. Harsh words that hurt like acid. Oh, man, I need my glasses. What's that? Berating, belittling, and wordless deeds that wore away your spirit. So from your experience, please tell us, I mean, you had to go through things personally. I mean, you have to get all in your business, but if there's some things that you can say to someone out there why you wrote this, and even give an example of what you went through, because really, I know how you feel. I experienced this myself, and I'm sure there are others.
Being the black sheep of a family.
Yes, and there are others out there, and they need to know, you know, since, you know, you've been through, they need to know, how can I go through it? So, you know, just explain this.
First off, God never called anybody trash. And his opinion means the most. He has the first word on your life. He has the last word.
That's right.
Nobody has the right to belittle you or devalue you. And it would behoove you, if you have enough wits about you and presence of mind, to separate yourself from people and get into that book. If you get into the Bible the way he wants you to, if he can sequester you, curtail you, border you off, quarantine you in certain parts of the day, and you get in that book and you realize the depth, the height and the depth, the broadness of what he thinks of you, how he took his time. And as far as scripture is concerned, he said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He took his time the way any artist or sculptor makes a portrait or a statue to form and make you. And you would be astounded at the indignity that he suffers when he hears somebody belittling one of his masterpieces.
Yes.
Because after all was created, he created man last. He saved the best for last. This is a reflection of me. And how dare you call my masterpiece nothing?
That's right. And like God spoke and everything else existed, but man, he took his time.
Yeah, because Reverend Jesse Jackson in the 60s and 70s would often lead crowds of black people and saying, I am somebody. I am black and I am proud. Well, spiritually, we are to say, I am a child of God.
That's right.
Your words mean nothing. I don't care who's talking to you. It could be an irate parent. It could be a overbearing boss. No one has a right to talk to you like that. And you do owe yourself to speak up and speak out. Because no one's opinion in the end matters more than God's. He knows what he puts in you. Deep down, waiting to be birthed, and it takes somebody with the Holy Ghost to start speaking into your life.
That's
apparently
right.
Where you and I both came from, that wasn't the right chef to do the job.
That's right.
Just wasn't the right chef, and I marvel at God's timing and at God's schedule, how he set stuff up. That former chef that we were under had seen it, he would have stirred it up.
That's right.
But when you pick and choose, playing favorites, and you know what ingredients you're gonna have in your own stew, more or less, you leave out the best stuff, not knowing what really could benefit you.
Yeah, a lot. I understand. Believe me, from personal experience, I know people they'll look past you, you know, mm-hmm. because. For whatever reason, I don't know why, you're not a cup of tea, whether you don't kiss up to him like everyone. I don't understand why, but God knows. But when, like you said, when the time is right, God got someone that's going to help you and speak into your life. Because I love the examples that you gave here. You gave about David, and you say how his father didn't pay no attention. He was the youngest, the smallest, yeah. Not worthy much attention.
Glance, you know, on the surface, there wasn't nothing remarkable or appealing to him.
That's right. As a matter of fact, even when the prophet Samuel came, he looked at one of them and said, this guy be the king or something, the way he statured one of his sons and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he was going by what he saw. But when God looks at the heart, God sees
God
what's inside.
Looks at the heart.
That's
or
right.
The inside.
That's right. And I
never
like
never mind the container, it's the contents that matter.
That's right. Like, even because Samuel thought he wasn't worthy, because, like you said, he was just a child, a boy. Moses, now that he had a speech problem.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there was something the other day, I was with somebody, and I said this also about Moses, because, like, I got a radio station. Like I said, I don't have the best grammar, and, you know, but I said, when God called you to do something, he know what he's doing. Because I said, if he could use Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh and he has a speech problem, mm-hmm. you know, so if God could use Moses, God know what he's doing. You know what I mean? So Moses felt small himself in the eyes of, you know, in his own eyes. He felt small, like he wasn't worthy, and he didn't want to go before Pharaoh. And, you know, then God let him use Aaron to speak for him.
And that's the perfect candidate. Because God told Saul, when you were small in your own eyes, I could use you.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you start to inflate like a hot air balloon, that's where, you know, no. You starting to get the big head. That little speck of iniquity is starting to grow, and that's what got Lucifer in trouble when he started listening to his own hype, his own reading his own press reports, looking at his own self. Then heaven had a problem on his hands. Satan knew he messed up, and he wants that same thing to be found in us. You know, self-worth, self, you know, expressive, self-contained, self-congratulatory.
That's right. So, why did you title this book Sweet or Sour?
As I was getting material up to write something for the newsletter, I was trying to, it occurred to me, the scripture that God gave us a decision, be ye hot or cold. And then I started cross-referencing, you know, since that's a sense of touch, how about if we take it a step further, the sense of smell. And to my surprise, you know, as I started looking at scripture back and forth, he started leading my hands, you know, flipping through the scripture. It came to me, you know, that he does indeed smell.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the way that we do, but he does have a sense of smell, and he is attracted or repulsed by it. And so I started looking at verses, infant concordances and thesauruses. And I came up with that. How do you smell to God? And since it's popular in Western culture to rely on cliches all the time, and that one that I briefly referenced, your attitude affects your altitude. And that's true. You know, it can affect your personal relationships. It can affect your relationships on your job with your friends. And no one is going to come around you if you look like Oscar the Grouch all the time.
Yeah.
And also, you know,
go ahead.
And also, you know, our prayers, if they're not up to snuff, you know, he's not going to, since he kicked out the original stinker for what he had on him, Lucifer, how do you think half our prayers are when they go up to heaven and they have to be sanctified by incense before they're even brought into his presence by the angels? So we have to have, you know, the right frame of mind on the inside before we even offer anything up, because you start serving substandard stuff, he's not going to even entertain it.
That's right. Now, where you at? I'm going, because you were talking about like being unapproachable, approachable. I'm going to touch on that one. But when you talk about the senses, one of the senses, when you talk about the five senses, and we are to, like, imitate God. But I was reading when you speak about the eyesight, when God look at us. And mm-hmm. and you touched on how people, and I had this in one of my podcasts about Christmas and all that. And you spoke about Santa Claus, how, you know, how he said he knows when you're asleep and he knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been good or and then, but this was really got me. You say, is it any wonder that the last few generations have been taught to disregard God, because all year long a dude they have never met nor will never meet is watching us all over from somewhere with the lie he's going to visit in the middle of the night, bearing gifts. Now, uh-huh. You know what? I really, because it's not too many preachers. I heard people speak on that. And I've been saying that for us, for the believer, for the Christians, why we celebrate Christmas. And I talk about the world, like Christmas or Easter.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking away from, you know, God, you know, taking away from God and stuff, the glory of God and stuff. What, like I told, I spoke before, Easter should really be called, for the saints, it should be called Resurrection Sunday. And yeah. Like when you spoke about Christmas, we know we celebrate for Jesus' birth, but a lot of people, before they Matter of fact, they might never say anything about Jesus. Just talk about Santa Claus and gifts all day. But when you say about the eyesight, when they're giving him credit for looking at you, tell the kids, you know, Santa Claus, watching all that stuff. But and then you put here, you get the scripture. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man as he as his work shall be. Revelation 22 and 12 and stuff. But you talk about how, you know, God gives the gifts and stuff, how he sees what you're doing. And I said, man, I do not hear a lot of people speaking the truth. So what made you touch up on that?
About God rewarding, right?
Yes.
For the believer, it is a promise. For the unbeliever and the sinner, it's a threat. I'm coming to get you. I don't bluff. I'm not playing games. And for the believer, it's a relief that, you know, there's going to be reward after so much labor. You know, you're going to be recompensated for all the assaults and insults that you've had to suffer, for all the setbacks, the disappointments, the disillusions. But for the sinner, payday is coming, and you're not going to like your paycheck.
You got to pay for
what you've done, and I'm going to make sure you get every cent of your wages.
So you'll tell your book, sweet or sour, so how we smell to God. You talk about all this, but you were saying like our smell and taste, the smell and taste are, you said they are the closest to one another, yeah. Most have more in common than the other senses. Can you explain why?
If you look at any diagram of the human skull, the olfactory sense is located near the back of the throat, and it's in very close proximity to the tongue. And those two, more than any of the other three, cooperate with one another. If you were to suffer any kind of injury or malady, if you had an itchy, stuffy, or a nose, it affects how food tastes. Now tell me if I'm wrong.
That's right. That's true.
If you got a cold, you know, food does not taste the same. With
that's true.
With food, odor molecules enter the back of the nose. And the taste buds tell you if food is sweet, sour, or salty. The sense of smell, it figures out specifics if it's a grape or an apple, according to whatever, you know, you memorize or remember a food can taste like. If you plug up your nose, food just doesn't have the same taste. Therefore, you know.
That's true. That's true. That is very true.
Since they're such close proximity, they you know, they cooperate, and if one is affected, the other one is affected as well. There's no getting around that.
Okay, so now we'll get with your title, sweet or sour. Now you your title is, are we sweet or how God smells? Are you doing how are we sweet or are we sour? Is that what you're saying? How God like smell us, or what you're saying with the title right there?
Related to your personal experience coming into your house. If you have dinner prepared, if the carpet is vacuumed, you get air freshener everywhere. It's a you know, smelling savor. It's pleasant. It's inviting. But if the opposite is true, you got trash overflowing. The bathroom is a mess as if kindergarten is used it all day long. You know, you don't even want to enter into your own house. You know, you can almost smell it from the door. Something ain't right. Something's wrong. What is going on? You know, this is not how I want to conduct business. And our personal lives, God is the same way. When he comes to visit you, trying to beckon him with worship and praise, he hears what he sounds like is a good thing. But when he comes into the temple and him and his senses being as sharp as it, he's looking into the heart and minds and souls of people, I know you were involved in this, that, and the other. I know you just got done that, and you're trying to cover it up with cheap praise and worship. No. I smell you.
Yeah.
I'm not coming nowhere near you.
Yes.
And how many times have we been in service doing our thing, thinking we've done nothing but work up a sweat, And God is like outside in the part of, I cannot come in there.
Yep.
What you got going on could stain my holiness, and I don't play with my holy nature. No.
Yep. Because, you know, kind of, on 23:24, you was talking about people, you know, the situation that they go through, how it can have a direct effect in molding who we are. Because, like, and I'm going back to something you touched on earlier. I'll go to a part of it. It said, where are you? Okay, let me start with part of 23, the bottom. I don't have my glasses with me right now, so. Most everyone would agree that your outlook in life, things you had to deal with, not mentioning people, have a profound hand in shaping your personality. Either warm and bubbly or irritable and grouchy. No one likes to be told that their attitude stinks. At least no one, no one like I can think of. This discretion all by itself tells you that the savior of it is not all pleasing. On the other hand, being of a sweet disposition suggests that one is more than approachable and entreating and stands the chance of a positive effect on those around them. Stay tiptoeing. Now, my take on that, what you were saying is, what we go through life, we can either let it make us bitter or sweet. Is that correct? I thought, but I said, you know what? That's true though, because you think about it, like, whether it depends on how you were raised, on a job, in school, church. Let's be honest, church. I know I came from some churches that could hurt people. You know, didn't know how to treat you, whatever. But all in life can even make you or break you. So you could be like you said, you can start becoming defensive. You can start becoming defensive where people approach you. And you already just ready to go off.
Yes.
So, am I correct?
You don't know the background story, the folks, what they've been through.
Yes, but
what makes them standoffish, what makes them paranoid, or you think they're being obnoxious as anything, but no, something in their history has helped shape them.
That's right. But yeah, like you say, you get, are you sweet and sour, but yet. Still, even what we go through, God promised to help us. Yeah. So we can even let it make us bitter and have a hardened heart, or we could be like, in my mind, I'd be like, I refuse to be like that person. I refuse to be like that. I'm not going to treat everybody like that. I'm not going to harden my heart. So, or you could be sweet. So
yeah, it takes practice. It takes time to get it right.
That's correct.
Change is not overnight. It takes time, but, you know, just stay before God and let him, you know, do what he has to do in you so that he can make use of you.
Like that's I said, right.
Substandard ingredients in any recipe just don't taste the same.
Is there any particular situation in your life where you think that it could make you bitter or sweet, but you chose... Maybe you're bitter for a while, or maybe then became sweet. Is there anything that the readers know so that they know that if God did it for him, he could do it for me?
Yes. You have to know the, have the scripture in your heart. You know, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Something else is making those people act the way they are. And if you have no choice but to be in, you know, in certain people's company for any amount of time, you know what's controlling them, what's whispering and suggesting stuff in their ears.
Well, I know in my personal life, personally for me, when I know, you know, when people don't care for you or they think you're a joke or...
Uh-huh.
For whatever reason, because, you know what I mean? I was kind of not a loner, but I wasn't a follower. I didn't do what everybody else do. You
watch
know,
your own drum beat.
That's right. If they like trash people, I'm not going along with that. Matter of fact, I stay away from certain people on purpose or whatever. So that'll make you not popular. You know, some people like boasting themselves and all this. That's not me. That's right. It wasn't meant to be. And I learned, you know, now when I was younger, before I knew it better, I did try to fit in. And that worked out for me. Because even when you try.
Wearing a round pig.
That's right. Because even when I was trying to fit in, I never did.
Before you knew what sanctification was, that's what you were. You were set apart.
That's right. I was set apart. I just could never.
You were sanctified. From your mother's womb, you were sanctified.
Yep. Could never get with the crowd. That was not me.
And you weren't meant to.
And I always knew God had called my life. But when I had walked past people that I knew wasn't for me and some things I went through, and scripture, you know, I always had scriptures with me to say, if God be for you, who could be against you?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if God be for you, who could be against you? And like scripture, be not dismayed at their faces. And, you know, I would just keep with myself. What was that scripture where David said, by my God, I can leap over a wall and run through a troop. God can give you the strength to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kept me and encouraged me. Especially now that I'm older, I especially really don't care now. You know what I'm saying? What people think of me or whatever. But like I said, anybody out there, don't try to fit in with people. If you know something's wrong, don't go along with it. God called you to be different. Maybe there's people out there that people are mistreating it. And you know the thing about it? And I knew those people. And in this, I was wrong too. There were some people that were mistreating, and I didn't speak up. I should have spoken and said something.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I should have spoken up. And I think as saints, we got to learn. And I was reading that earlier before we came on air. We talk about sins on mission and commission or whatever. And sometimes not doing something is a sin when God told you to do something.
Right.
You understand? And I said, that's another thing. We got to learn to open our mouth when we see wrong and God leads us to say something, we need to say it. Whether stand up for the word, stand up for someone else, but we need to speak out. But okay, you got anything you want to say?
No, sir. You've got it as beautifully as I could have ever wanted to say it. But in this lifelong journey, our experiences and our trials help to make us. And although it hurts, you have to understand that's the process that perfumes and oils go through. The ingredients must be pounded. They must be squashed. They must be put through the wringer in order to, you know,
that sweet smell.
That sweet smelling savor.
Just almost a process.
Even insect and dog repellents and pesticides, you know, although they are poisonous and harmful to man, they got to go through a process. But since we're dealing on, you know, perfumes and such like that, you know, it is a process for you to be used for the glory of God, which will come out later or in his due time. No, it's a process. It's not easy, but it's worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah, because even for a diamond to be made, it goes underneath a process of pressure. Just like gold, you have to sift all the bad stuff before you get to the final stages. There's always a process where God want to carry us, where he want to take us, the person he has us to be. There's a process we have to go through. And most likely it's going to be painful, but after the pain and stuff, you will be who God called you to be. If you go through the process, we got to learn to stop running from the process. My pastor said something about that a couple of weeks ago. You know, we got to stop running from the process and let God carry us through the process.
Uh-huh. Right.
A lot of times we're praying for God to deliver us for something, or take us for something. No, God gave the grace to go through it.
Right.
But is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm honored, and this has been a blessed morning to hook up with you and discuss, you know, what was on my mind when I was writing. And I hope to do it again. I hope that there's a part two.
Yes, and I hope so. And now tell our listeners on what platforms and how they can get a copy of your book.
Certainly. As per the deal that was struck, it is available on Amazon. It goes for a meager $12.95. I believe it's one of the best $13 you'll ever spend, and it is available in every Barnes and Nobles. If you go to their website or have the opportunity to visit the store in person, they can certainly order it for you.
Okay, thank you, Tommy. And on that note, we have reached the end of our podcast. And once again, please go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon and purchase Sweet or Sour by Tommy Denard. You will not be disappointed. Until the next time, God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Christian Life Podcast. We pray that you were blessed by the message. To obtain a copy of Tommy Denard's book, Sweet or Sour, How Do You Smell to God? Please find it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. You can listen to our online radio station 24 hours a day. Download Live 365 on Apple Store or Google Play and search Mega Worship Radio. Don't forget to reach out to us at megaworshipradio.com or christianlifepodcast.com. Until next time, be blessed.